It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming up, we'll talk to Lauren Williams about our Hawks. Bad loss last night, Mike. I thought we had empty possessions at the end of the game. We should have beaten the Mavs. AD took over. Man, he was a beast. 34 points, 15 boards, 5 blocks for AD last night.
Yeah, the guy was certainly feeling like trying to prove back to Mavericks fans that, you know, those who still go to the games, that he's actually, you know, look, I'm going to be healthy. And once, you know, I get Kyrie back, and, you know, there's a lot of rumors. Like, is there any team that Kevin Durant hasn't played for at this point?
That's a good point.
But that would be maybe a chance to maybe get some life back. And I think if you're Dallas, you have to try to make a play for Durant.
I agree. He's going to be traded this offseason. Meanwhile, guys, we are talking and continuing to have a great conversation with you about our Braves. Last night it was a walk-off by Shohei Ohtani, and it hurt because it felt like this was the one we were going to get, and you felt like, okay, a little bit of life here. I do not fault Snit for leaving Iglesias out there. I know some of you are saying, why do that? It would have been a 5-save or 5-out save. It didn't play out that way, Mike, but again, I don't fault Snit for attempting to do what he did last night as far as managing that situation. Austin Riley talked about, you know, how disappointing it was to have the bases loaded that moment in the game. There are lots of things that are just standing out that you go, man, that didn't go our way. We didn't get that break. You talk about the Drake Baldwin hits in this series, you know, warning track power, a stolen home run. I mean, there's just crazy stuff that's happened here in the first seven.
When things aren't going your way. And then, you know, I don't fault Snit. I think Snit, we play the soundbite. We'll play it again later for you. But Snit was kind of alluding to, yeah, I mean, there's a sense of urgency when you start losing 6 and 7 games in a row. And so he went with Raisel Iglesias because Daisbell Hernandez came in and struggled. And so he said, all right, I'm gonna go for a 5-out save. The guy hadn't pitched all season.
No.
There's been no games for him to save. So he should have been well-rested. But unfortunately, Iglesias, Iggy, was sloppy in his execution, and he allows the game to be tied. And then, unfortunately, you know, Shohei with the walk-off. And then the Dodgers, you know, everyone's saying money doesn't guarantee you anything. But, man, Carl, long way to go, but they look like everything they're supposed to be.
I'm with you, man. We're going to talk more about our Braves coming up next hour. We'll go around the yard. We'll break down some of the important numbers, and we'll get ready for the home opener, guys. Mike and I will be at Murph's tomorrow hanging out. We'll tell you a little bit more about that. But right now, let's talk some dogs. So Mike and I have been in here. He's been mocking. We're going to continue that. We're talking about mock drafting. But there are things that are happening, you know, not just in Athens, but across college football. And, of course, the transfer portal continues to be a big conversation. Mike, let's talk about the basketball transfer portal real quick, because you were saying earlier, like, did you see who was in the portal? It feels like everybody is in the basketball portal, but the football portal is also a big conversation, guys. As spring ball gets ready to wrap up, we know the Dogs and G-Day is going to happen on the 12th. And then, you know, we'll see if they decide to bring in anybody else.
Right.
But at the end of the day, this is how you're supplementing your roster right now. And then Kirby talked about it. We played that soundbite yesterday where he said, hey, this big decision that's going to happen on Monday could implement or could have a huge effect on college football moving forward if they decide that this $2.8 billion payout that's supposed to go to the players, Mike, creates a cap across the board and all the rules and regulations that are going to go with that.
Yep, and as we said, does this mean now the NCAA reasserts itself? I thought we were ready to put a spike into the heart of the NCAA, who just, you know, basically is part of the reason we're here, because they dragged their feet and they came up with these ridiculous pecune rules that we had to deal with over the years. Think about, like, all those secondary ridiculous violations, the stuff that, like, Jeremy Pruitt, let's be honest, he was, if what they alleged was accurate, he was dirty dealing, but now, you know, 12 months later, it's all legal with NIL, but I really don't want the NCAA back in our lives, but that sounds like someone's going to be the sheriff on this deal to make sure you're basically operating under an NFL-like cap.
So speaking of transfers, Zachariah Branch could be the Dogs' number one piece as far as what we've been missing at wide receiver. Mike, he was asked about a couple of things. One, watching Gunnar Stockton, and then he talked about why he chose Georgia. For those who don't remember, he made an instant impact at USC, and, you know, was on special teams and as a wide receiver. And then, you know, everybody's like, okay, you leave Lincoln Riley. He comes to Georgia, but this is the first time we've heard from him. This is Zachariah Branch talking about Gunnar Stockton.
I watched him throughout the practices when I came up here on a visit, and I saw his work ethic and his fire in practice, and that's something that caught my eye as well. And then she was like, when it tied into everything else that the culture brings and the program bring, and having him at quarterback, it was something that, you know, I was really interested in.
Yeah, he talked about the culture with Kirby, as you heard him say there. But there are a lot of reasons why, you know, Georgia's attractive. And Kirby's always saying it's a special place, right? Athens is a special place. Right. Here's Zachariah Branch talking about why he chose the Dogs.
First and foremost, I would say the culture that Coach Kirby Smart and, you know, the coaching staff has established. I feel like it's a real brotherhood. And, you know, it's not just words. You know, some people just say, okay, we have to have the bond and the things like that to be a great team. But I really do truly believe that, you know, they built that into this program and they consistently done it year after year.
See, we've been debating this week with Kirby kind of doing a Nick Saban-like pronouncement. Yep. You know, like, hey, you know, there's still guys in this world who are not just going for the dollar, the almighty buck, you know. And if you want to get coached hard, you come to Athens. So that is kind of more Ray Goff, but you get the idea. And can you find that guy? Can you find the dude that doesn't have the helicopter parent or the uncle, whoever, who's in his pocket and trying to get the most loot? So, yes, there's always going to be teams. And I think, you know, USC, look, for instance, remember Bear Alexander?
Yeah.
There's a guy that, you know, flaked out at Georgia, for lack of a better word, goes there. And that was when he went to three teams in 2 years practically. And some guys you know, kind of get back to the stigma that used to exist about transfers. Now it doesn't exist. Joe Burrow was kind of the first transfer that, oh, okay. He wasn't just a guy who was in, you know, oh, I'm not going to compete. He just knew they weren't going to start him at Ohio State. He went to LSU and the rest is history. So some of these guys, you know, it's just a smart move. But in the old days, who's Kevin Sumlin had all those quarterbacks that just like went and ruined basically his chances at A&M. So you're always going to have the selfish kid or the kid who maybe doesn't want to compete, and you don't want to sound like an old fart.
One of them was Kyler Murray, by the way.
Right. And these guys all scrammed on him. But at the end of the day, Kirby's looking for that, you know, those guys, those unicorns who still want to be coached hard, deal with discipline, and yeah, you're still going to – it's like you're coming to Georgia, you're not going to get paid. You're just maybe not going to make that extra loot that school X, Y, or Z might give you.
Kirby was talking about, Mike, you know, the bad part of what's happening, like being on these Zoom calls and talking about, you know, kids wanting to be in the portal. And I just want you to hear this, and I don't even know if this is really giving it its due with the context of what Kirby was talking about, but listen to this a little bit.
There's stuff going on right now, guys, in college football. I mean, there's people reaching out to have a Zoom call and present all the players they represent that are on teams, including our teams, and they want to invite people to the Zoom so they can watch and see who's going in the portal or shopping, who's in the portal before the portal. Do you want to get on the Zoom and look at all these players? I'm like, well, what if some of them are mine?
And Kirby's talking about with little regulation at the moment, these are the kind of things that are taking place. Mm-hmm. And so he's saying, look, as the head coach, you know, yeah, I'm aware of this stuff, but to his point, like, some of my guys on these Zooms? Do I need to get on there?
Right.
And this is stuff that we never thought would we ever witness, I don't think, in college sports. But now it's becoming the norm. And he's saying a Zoom call with players who they're represented by on their teams, including our own, and then they're inviting people. Yeah, you just come in and see what's going on. That's not cool.
No. And the fact that you're dealing – I mean, just the fact that you're dealing with agents, right? You're dealing with these guys that are repping these dudes. Yep. And these guys have their – see, that's the thing. You know, the kid might, like, buy in, just for argument's sake, buys into Kirby or whoever the position coach is who recruit him, whatever, you know, whatever position he plays. But you get the, hey, man, you know, Auburn, they're coming, like, you know, another 500,000. You got to take care of your family. I'm 18. How do you weigh that when Kirby's selling and what somebody else is selling?
It's a great point, Mike. It's tough.
And that's the thing. Don't get it twisted. I don't begrudge the money. I said they should have gotten paid for years, but because the NCAA dragged their feet, now we're left with this, you know, train wreck.
Sure.
It's almost swung the other way. But if I'm a kid, I got to take – like, no kid's going to believe at 18 you're not going to the NFL, right? Oh, I'm I'm going to be in the NFL. When the odds are, no. Only what? You know, point, what, is it 1% of all college kids make it to whatever the number is? So at the end of the day, if they're in your ear, and I have the presence of mind as an 18-year-old to say, I take care of my family if I go to another school for an extra whatever it is? I don't know. Does that weigh in or not?
It does, and I think we're seeing that when guys leave and people go, why are they leaving? We've seen it.
Like a kid like Jameis, or take any kid. It can be anybody, any background. But, yeah, you got a chance. If your family's struggling, you got a chance to set them up right there, and hopefully they do right by the money. And it lasts.
The transfer portal, by the way, reopens on April 16th, closes on April 25th.
Now, speaking of the transfer portal, we were talking about, hey, Mike White, what are you going to do about it? Because Silas Demery.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Is in the portal. Asa Newell looks like he's going to go pro. That hasn't been confirmed. But if I was Asa Newell, I'd come back. He needs to come back and get the season, but he won't. But he now, and he'll be, you know what he'll be? On a bench somewhere in the NBA, and it'll take 3 or 4 years for him to become the guy that he should be if he stayed another year in college.
Turtle just said Silas committed to UConn, so.
Right. But they get a guy, Georgia adds the sixth man of the year in the ACC, Jeremiah Wilkinson from Cal.
Yes.
You know, hard to remember, yes, Cal is in the ACC. So good job, Coach White. Right? Because that's part of what you got to do.
Yeah.
And then one other nugget, and we were talking about this earlier, about these transfer portals. I guess he's the Big 12 leading scorer is going to Auburn, which is pretty nice. Yeah, Keyshawn Hall is going from UC. Again, UCF's in the Big 12.
Yes, it is.
Is going to join Bruce Pearl's Auburn team next year.
Well, look, and Pearl's at a spot now where, again, you know, you talk about these programs in the Final Four, all number one seeds, Mike. They can pick and choose the guys. If that kid's in the portal and he's that good, and that's a good get for Bruce Pearl. Auburn's program is established now, Mike. They're going to be legit. They're going to be competitive year in and year out. And I'm not telling you they're going to be in the Final Four every year, but I think it's just like Duke with Shire, Mike. You know, Cooper Flagg has revitalized Duke to a point. And it's not like they really ever fell off, but there was a point in the 90s, and I said this, if you were around, you either loved or you hated Duke because you felt like they were always in it and always winning, and they always got the star players. And I think Cooper Flagg going there, and if they win it this year,
right,
Shire's going to reestablish that thing just like Coach K did.
Rumor that R.J. Louise might go stay in the Big East and go to UConn.
Oh, wow.
And wouldn't that be, because Dan Hurley and Pitino do not get along.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So that's just something to think about. And one last nugget, I was telling Carl during the commercial break, we were talking about, you know, edge rushers. I was doing these mock drafts and just, you know, in the commercial break, somebody put on Twitter. But we mentioned a guy who's always there when the Falcons are picking at 15, and that's Pierce out of Tennessee.
James Pierce.
And James Pierce, the edge rusher, who, again, you know, looks like statistically and, you know, what he did at UT, pretty much anything you could argue that Mike Green could do, and maybe more of a polished edge rusher than a Malik, you know, than some of the other guys we'd look at for Georgia, like Mykel Williams. Reason I bring this up is every time you look at a draft, the exception of the NFL Network, because they don't mention it, but every other thing I've seen says attitude, lazy, you know, can he be motivated? And shout out to Big Debo ATL.
All right.
He goes, hey man, Carl and Mike, I may be biased, but I don't put a lot of stock around character and attitude reports from teams around the draft. He goes, I never heard any of those things about Pierce during his time in Tennessee. Speed and athleticism, something we need for the Falcons. So that's one Vols fan who said, you know, from what he knows, this dude was clean.
Debo, I hope you're right. Here's what I've heard. Maturity, coachability. I don't know if those are true. Guess what? The Falcons will find out when they talk to those Tennessee coaches and Heupel and company, and they will find out. If he is legit, Mike, he's worthy of 6'5", 250. He's right, athlete. But when you hear that a guy's profile continues to be pushed down and you go, why? It has nothing to do with his physical skills. It has to do with the maturity for this kid and whether he's coachable. All right, man, we got more to get to. Lauren Williams is going to join us. We'll talk Hawks. Bad loss again last night. I thought they should have won on the road. How do they finish this season? Mike mentioned it. Do we have any momentum heading into this play-in tournament in which they've already got their, not their seating, but they've already clinched a spot in the play-in? We'll talk to Lauren next. Sports on the way. We had a great conversation with D. Orlando Ledbetter, didn't we, Mike, earlier?
You sure did, Mike and Carl. I provided the hijinks.
Yes, he did. And he said a bunch of things in regards to our Falcons. We will review and talk about that, as well as our Braves.
We're getting a tackle.
Which sounds like the Falcons are talking, or at least doing their due diligence when it comes to offensive linemen. Let's talk about our Hawks real quick, guys, because we have to. Season's winding down. Mike, last night, disappointing ending, and Lauren Williams joins us. She covers the Hawks for the AJC, AJC.com. Lauren, you know, Mike and I keep talking about some momentum heading into this play-in. We know we've qualified for it, but, yeah, like, every time that it feels like, okay, that's a game we should win, you blow it. Oh, that's a game we should win.
Right.
You blow it. That's the way I felt, at least in these back-to-back games here the last this week. How have you felt about them?
Yeah, I think with this team, I always just sort of expect the unexpected, and maybe there's something in my gut yesterday that told me after what happened with the Trailblazers that it just wasn't going to quite go how Hawks fans maybe wanted it to go. I don't know. I this team is confounding, but I always try to go back to this idea that, you know, they weren't supposed to be good this year, and I'm not necessarily looking for you know, a reason to excuse away them not being competitive or letting go of games or anything like that. But, I mean, they're a young team, and the fact that they've lost Jalen Johnson, you know, they're still getting those new guys acclimated to the system as well as they've played. This team really wasn't supposed to be good. And especially with a rookie being as big of a contributor as he has been. This is essentially, Quinn Snyder called it Dyson Daniels' rookie year because he didn't play that much with New Orleans his first two seasons in the league. So with a team that's going through a lot of growing pains, it's not necessarily understandable, but it does make sense why, you know, some of these things keep happening. They lose some of these games that on paper they should win. And actually, Dyson made a really good point after that loss against the Trailblazers a couple of days ago that there are no easy games in the NBA. And, you know, the Trailblazers, even though they're technically still in the running for the postseason in the Western Conference, I mean, they're basically playing for nothing. I mean, they're not necessarily trying to tank. I'm sure if they land that number one pick, that franchise would be ecstatic, but they're looking to compete, and a lot of those guys are playing for jobs on NBA teams. So, you know, those are games that the Hawks just have to take a lot more seriously. When you think about Dallas last night, they're just a very big team. They've got a future Hall of Famer in Anthony Davis, who absolutely showed out, and you could tell that was a tough matchup for Onyeka Okongwu. So as frustrating as it is, it just feels like the Hawks have been overachieving this season, and we're kind of seeing the results of that now.
Yeah, and the big fella, you know, D-ing up Trey at the end, that was not optimal. It's Lauren Williams, guys, from the HAC with us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Lauren, I noticed the last two games, both teams that we played, Portland and Dallas, outscore us by 10 in the third quarter. So come out of the gate, second half. Something that Quinn needs to work on. I mean, I'm not trying to say you're getting out-adjusted, but it just seems like you know, that's been the momentum which has taken some of these games out of our hands.
Yeah, it's just they're not getting those shots to fall that they seem to have success with in the first half. And I don't know if it's just that the other team has just made these significant adjustments that has taken that young team to take a chance to kind of get their feet back under them after they come out of the locker room. But yeah, that's something that, you know, Quinn Snyder and his staff have to address, is just making sure that squad is not lackadaisical coming out of the locker room, for sure.
All right, well, let's talk about last night specifically, and just Trae Young. Listen, he is the star. Everybody knows that. And going to him late in games, you know, I get that. I understand it. But I was a little frustrated, Lauren. I was talking to this, you know, to our audience about this. Like, seeing somebody else. Sometimes the star has to be, you know, the guy that sets up the play that maybe wins the game. And, you know, last night I know Trae was trying, you know, the clock, I think we had 7 seconds, so he didn't have a lot of time. But that's something that I'd like to see more of. And I'm curious, have you asked Quinn Snyder about this? What has he said? Because it feels like throughout the course of the season we've had these moments, and it's always in Trey's hands. That's great. But we don't necessarily run a play that gets a guy open or something that gets you the shot to win the game.
Yeah, I think that, you know, this situation just shows how much trust Quinn Snyder has in Trae Young in these end-of-game situations.
Yeah.
You know, you definitely wish that you could see that trust kind of spread out to some of those other guys, because he had a guy like Niang on the court. He had Caris LeVert, who can go get you a bucket. Those guys have been in situations like this where they know what to do in these end of game scenarios when there's not a lot of time on the clock. So I think maybe that's a matter of now Trae seeing what's happening and trusting the other guys that are on the court with him, especially once, again, like you have a guy like Anthony Davis coming out to the perimeter to try and stop that shot. You know, we know that Trae can do that and find guys for those open plays. So I guess it's just a matter of, you know, this team stepping up its trust in each other, especially with some of those new guys.
So as far as a playoff matchup, I mean, first things first, we got to win games like we just lost, which was an entertaining game, by the way, other than, you know, the finish. But do you, I mean, you just said, not to make it sound like Debbie Downer, but you kind of said, you know, we're a team whose expectations were low after losing Jalen Johnson, trading DeAndre Hunter. Do you see this team as kind of like what we saw a few years ago, where we can certainly get into the playoffs, but then like maybe best we can do is like five games like we did against Miami a few years ago?
Yeah, and Boston, like, you know, that game going to, or that series going to six. As much as, again, like you said, you don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but this team has certainly shown that they can compete, but they're just not a team, in my opinion, unless, you know, the chips fall exactly as you would want them to. It's hard for me to foresee them going beyond the first round. In fact, you know, going up against a team like Cleveland or going up against a team like Boston, I see it, and, you know, optimistically being a gentleman's sweep, going 5-6 games, but not necessarily, you know, the Hawks coming out on the other end, the winners. So it's tough just because you look at the size that this team has. They just get worn down by some of those bigger players. We saw it against Portland. We saw it against Dallas last night. They just it's like they don't know how to completely adjust to playing around some of that size when it kind of catches them off guard. And so, yes, you know, it's good that you have that sort of 7-game series. But like we saw with Boston and Miami a couple of years ago, it's once you fall behind too fast or too soon, it's hard to catch up. You know, you're not going to always have a situation where it was, I can't remember who the Clippers were facing, but maybe it was Dallas, and they ended up coming back from that 3-0 deficit or something like that. So, yeah, it's hard to foresee them, you know, coming out of the first round.
Yeah, they've lost 4 of their last 5, but the Milwaukee win is in there where they blew doors, and you go, okay, but they lost to Houston, which is a very good team and you know, understandable. Miami, again, at Miami, wasn't sure. Mike and I talked about that. Then, you know, we get Portland and then last night Dallas. I thought those were three winnable games. We got 6 games left, guys. They're at home Saturday against the Knicks. Early start, by the way, 3 o'clock. And then Utah Sunday. That's a back-to-back. And then you get at Orlando, at Brooklyn, at Philly. I mean, everybody for Philly's been shut down, right? I saw today, you know, pretty much nobody's playing for them that you would be familiar with. And then you finish the season against Orlando on April 13th, and then the play-in starts that week. So, Lauren, it should be interesting. We appreciate you stopping by. We had to get your opinion on this as the team has 6 games remaining. And last night, again, another tough loss as they weren't able to get a shot off, basically, that would have tied the game or maybe even won it. Thanks again, Lauren. Follow her, by the way, at the AJC and AJC.com. We'll talk soon.
Talk soon, guys.
All right. Thanks so much.
Yeah, man. You know, we've had these conversations where we've had a nice little run, win 3 or 4 in a row, and then you have these last two where it's just – and this was a game that really came down to some poise, and there were some awful shots, and, you know, you and I didn't like the way the game ended, certainly the way, you know, you said it. Maybe try to post somebody for a nice open look. I mean, Trey, there's some nights where, Trey, you're going to have to, you know, just not dominate but facilitate. Then the other argument is you don't want anybody else taking that last shot of the game.
No, and that's part of it. Like, right, Trey has earned the right – to do that. And I get it. It's like Anthony Davis. At the end of the game, guys, they went to AD because he's their best player. And so in those situations, when he makes that little floater to make it 120-118, that's expected. I don't care if everybody in the gym knows. We used to say this about LeBron. We said about Mike. I don't care if everybody and their mom knows you're going to give him the ball.
Right.
You give the ball to your best player and you hope he creates something. The problem with Dre is, Mike, they switched off Anthony Davis and he's like, oh, this is like a gorilla all over him and he can't see anything.
All of a sudden, like you're a pigeon with a pterodactyl looking
exactly.
at you. Right?
So that's why I say, you know, I would have liked to have seen something there. But listen, Quinn Snyder knows more basketball, has forgotten more than I know. And at the end of the day, they weren't able to get the dub. I just don't know if they're playing well enough to feel like they're going to get out of the play-in right now. They got 6 more games. Hey, man, what do we got coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, man, a couple of things involving television. The Falcons still technically could be a team on Hard Knocks this year. There's a criteria that they do fit. We'll explain that. What you may not see at this year's Masters, because the Masters wants it that way. And then I made a fashion decision this week. I talked about it with Carl on the air. And
you got killed?
Am I too old to wear blender sunglasses a la Coach Prime? The word, well, it starts with a D and ends with a Y, came up. We'll explain coming up next in Guy Talk. What a play is play. Hey, man, tomorrow, guys, at Murph's, a very special guest. Tomorrow is 404 day, by the way, meaning 4, you know, 4, April 4th, for those who don't know how. You remember, you never learned how a calendar works in school. But we'll be over at Murph's, man, over there at Cobb Galleria, that you can easily park and walk over the pedestrian bridge and make your way to the battery in the ballpark. Hey, I was still joking around with Carl earlier in the week. I had those blenders, those gold shades that Dion wears, on back order, and there was very big demand for them. And then eventually I got the email, and I got lost in my junk email, found it, and I said, yeah, they're available. You want to get them. So I less than $100, pretty good deal.
Yeah.
And they came in the other day, so I posted the photo. You can go to Mike Pelley, TL, on Twitter. We don't say X on this show. And I was in the car at the top down with those things on, and I got to be honest, they're pretty cool. I'm kind of thinking, you know, if Florida State ever gets good again, it'll look kind of neat with a red cap. You know, it's kind of kind of comes all together, brings the whole ensemble together when I'm at Doe Campbell.
Coordinate.
But I asked the question, are they D blank blank EY or okay. are they cool? And a lot of guys thought they were DB-ish.
Really?
The majority of the audience in an unscientific poll felt that no, they did not look cool, and I look like a hipster phony jerk wearing those glasses.
Wait a minute. Dion makes them look good. You can make them look good.
Yes, problem is Dion's head is larger than mine, okay. So they do kind of...
Because they're big.
They are bigger than I expected, you know. Now, I don't want to look like, you know, some old guy who just got, like, LASIK, you know, just walking around the mall with those giant... You know, but that's... So they looked a little big, but I do appreciate the feedback.
I thought it looked good, man. I'm not gonna lie to you. You showed me that picture. I was like, they look kind of dope. I'm not gonna lie.
I said, my coach prime blenders finally arrived. What do you think? Cool or blanky?
Yeah. You're using them to drive, Mike. I mean, it's not like you're indoors right now wearing them.
Great shades.
Are you?
No. Look a size too big. I said again, well, Deion's got a bigger melon. Another guy. I mean, you're driving a drop-top vet, Mikey, so lead into it.
Just say that for your vision issues, Mike.
Another guy says, yeah, they're kind of D, but you pull it off, Mike. Not sure where that lands, but I think it's a compliment.
Come on. You know what? The honesty of our listeners.
Just sound like you do with Carl, man. They're for vision issues.
They are.
Another guy, always knew you were a gay slur. Let's see here.
Wow.
Another guy, you took a chance and whiffed. We still love you, Mike.
You took a shot.
David, thank you, David. You understand. Looking sharp, old man. Great pick, Mike. Cool. Good job. Guy says, I have the black ones. Pretty cool. Now, the guy's got a video of Dion. Guy says, wish they weren't so pointy. Now, the guy says, welcome to the club. So, if we went to basically, maybe it's 50-50. I thought it was maybe, I'm reading more than
I
hadn't read.
Bad. Listen, I think they look good. I don't care. You should wear them. Plus, you paid a lot of money.
Well, you've got a bigger head than mine. You want me to pass them along to you?
I have enough shades in my collection to last me a lifetime. And now with these transitionals and the prescription stuff, I have more glasses to take care of than I need. But
I mean,
you should wear them.
I'd love to see you as black guys rock those on the set of a Hawks game.
I can't wear those. Now that's different. I cannot wear
those. Must be the money.
Exactly. That's the next thing you'd hear.
And then finally, I can't say this on the radio. Let's just say that someone now says, I'm an honorary member of the African American Club. So I've got street cred with these.
I don't know.
Says, you're my...
I wouldn't go there.
Okay. Another guy says, reporting for booty. Another guy says, yeah, they look kind of DB-ish, and he's got Will Smith shaking his head.
Oh, stop.
Yeah.
I love this critique, though. I mean, like, you gave it to the people. You were like, look at me. Here's this picture. These are my new shades.
Right.
Gave the layout,
look,
and people hit you back.
I'm not afraid to put it out there. No. It's, man, look, guys, that's the difference between me and somebody like Kevin Durant. I can take people criticizing and making fun of me.
I'm so glad you said him and not somebody else.
I've been doing this for... so many years. Now, granted, I've worked with some guys.
I thought you were going to name another host.
No, I've worked with some guys that are insufferable in that area. What? I'm not saying a word.
Don't do it.
I'm just saying. I mean, you've got to be able to take heat, especially when you talk as much ish as you and I do on the radio.
It's true.
You got to be able to give as good as you get. Hey, man, we can't wait for the Masters. It all starts, of course, next week. We'll be at Twin Peaks on Wednesday. I want to say it's 5:20, but it's the Ring Road off of in Augusta.
Yeah.
But we'll be at Twin Peaks following the Par 3 tournament, which is always an amazing tradition. But looking forward to it. Now, real quick, Awful Announcing, which is a good website if you're not familiar with kind of the inside workings of TV. One thing we know that last year when Hurricane Helene came through, there's a lot of storm damage, right? Remember that?
There was.
And apparently a lot of some of your more iconic trees, and maybe you'll notice, maybe you won't. If you're like me and Carl, you pretty much have, Augusta, like the back of your hand, whether you've seen it on TV or you've been there in person. But damage done by Helene will not be a major part of the CBS broadcast. There was a conference call yesterday with the Masters and the CBS golf team. It was a golf producer named Sellers Shy. Trevor Immelman was on the call along with Dottie.
Okay.
And they were saying that we're covering the tournament the way it's presented to us and the way the club would like to present it. In other words, you're not going to say, hey, you might remember on hole X, there's a big tree that kind of made it for a difficult tee shot. That tree's gone. So remember, some things were unavoidable. On 17 a couple years ago, I think the Eisenhower tree just fell over, right, in a storm.
Yes.
And so it was iconic. But for those who don't, Chris, like our producer's not a big golf guy. President Eisenhower was a huge golfer, and the way his swing, I guess he would slice. Either way, the tree was always in his way, and he wanted to have it removed. And they're like, no, we're not taking down the tree. You're, even though you're president of the United States and a five-star general. But eventually, Mother Nature did the job. During the call, they discussed how trees on certain holes, such as behind the 15th green, behind the 11th green, on the right sides of the 9th, have been removed. So you remember 9, Carl, it's kind of a narrow approach as you're going uphill to the green. So it might be some trees you might notice. Maybe you won't. But CBS is not going to basically call attention to it.
You know what was so amazing about that, though, seriously, thinking back, is how fast they got that thing out of the way.
Right.
Like they had crews out there, and I know it's the Masters.
Well, those big trees that nearly fell on the 16th green.
That's right.
Yeah, that's those Georgia loblolly pines. They, like it never happened.
They were gone. Like, they showed a tree that had fallen, and then the next thing you know, it looked like, you know, the course, it never happened. So, anyways, yeah, I was amazed at that. But that's not surprising, Mike. I mean, again, you want to present your best self, right?
Right.
And they're going to do that.
Now, again, guys, it's their tournament, and you get most of it commercial free, and that's why they get to do what they want to do.
Yep.
So I got no problem with that. So if you love Augusta, you'll be able to figure it out. Hey, man, biggest shift in Hard Knocks comes down to who's going to be eligible for this one. Apparently, we are in the mix. Falcons, Cardinals, Ravens, Bills. Some folks are saying that there's a couple of teams, which some of the storylines, the Giants have some dysfunction, although they just did that mid-season one. The Chiefs, the Dolphins, we've already seen them in the regular season version. So it's been a minute since we have been on Hard Knocks. I want to say 2014 Mike Smith. The famous introduction.
What did he say?
The Falcon. Is this how it starts? You know, you hear the dramatic music.
The Falcons were soft. The Falcons aren't tough. Bull.
And then they go right to the video, the contact, and it's like, da, 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 and it's, yeah, that's Mike Smith.
Yeah.
You know what people are saying about us? The Falcons are soft. The Falcons are weak.
The Falcons were soft. The Falcons aren't tough.
Yeah.
Bull.
And we love Smitty, but
he's great.
And the one thing, and you and I have always said, I think one of the more interesting ones was that Cleveland Browns one, where you saw Hugh Jackson was basically like on thin ice from the jump.
It was weird.
Like, it was just, you could see so much, you know, bad juju on the coaching staff, batch of backstabbers, bad vibes, and then you just knew that he was not long for the coaching world, at least in Cleveland. But anyway, see if we get it. By the way, do you love Atlanta? Because some fans don't like us doing it because they feel it's a distraction. I love the access.
Oh, I do too. I think it adds something. And here's the deal. You get people just like the Lions. When they went on there were people like, eh. Then they got good. And then now they're in the playoffs, Mike. And now it looks like they're going to be a perennial powerhouse for a few years. And you're kind of like, okay, I'm familiar with these guys. I think it helps your brand. I do. I think there are people around the country. You know, for the Bears, Mike, they weren't any good last year. But the whole Caleb Williams thing, and I think it's good. So I'm with you. I like that. And I'm not saying, Coach, I want it. But if they do, okay. And then it becomes, Mike, who do they follow and who are the characters on this team? Because I will tell you right now, the Falcons will poo-poo this whole you're not following Cousins around. That's for sure.
And by the way, we don't know who the division's going to be. You know, they did it was the AFC North last year with the Steelers and the Bengals and the Browns and the Ravens. And so the criteria, just real quick, you can't have a first-year head coach, so we don't have that.
Okay.
Raheem's been around. Team is not a member of the division set to be featured, so we don't know who that division's going to be yet.
Right.
So we may still get Hard Knocks, guys. It will just be in the mix with three other teams, with the Bucks, Saints, and Carolina if they pick us.
Wasn't that a rumor about Belichick's in North Carolina getting it, but it wasn't true,
they,
right?
They approached him, and he squashed him.
Okay.
Didn't want to do it. And the other thing is, this is where we come into being in the mix, guys. The team has not been featured on Hard Knocks training camp in any of the previous 8 seasons. It was 11 years ago that we were. It was 2014.
All right.
So maybe we get it.
Yeah.
I love it. I hope we do. Hey, man, Hollywood. Maybe you hadn't noticed. Maybe you do. Maybe this crap they put out there just rolls right over and you don't pay attention. They're going to remake The Naked Gun with Liam Neeson apparently playing, I guess, Frank Drebin's like son or something. And I saw the trailer and I stopped halfway through. Chris was talking about it earlier.
Is it not funny?
Well, it's Liam Neeson playing. It's the role made famous by Leslie Nielsen.
Yes.
Who was great and had amazing comedic timing. For those who don't know, Leslie Nielsen was like sort of a B-movie actor, always playing the heavy on like Barnaby Jones or Columbo.
So
and
funny.
Then they made him the doctor in the first Airplane. And then later on, subsequently, the same Zucker brothers did Naked Gun. That's why I always like, nice beaver. He's up there. He goes, thanks, I just had it stuffed. Let me help you with that. And then she hands down a stuffed beaver in the shop. It still makes me laugh every time.
Play on words. I mean, right. Like all the stuff. You're right, though. The timing of the jokes for him and the physical acting
as
part of that, too. So, yeah, I haven't seen it. I know Chris mentioned it. You told me you were very disappointed idea.
Come on, man. I mean, look, and God bless Liam Neeson. We were joking about Jason Statham making the same five last years. Liam Neeson's basically done the same movie the last 10.
The Working
but
Man.
But a lot of guys feel that he can pull it off with a comedic chest. But do we really need a new Naked Gun?
Probably not. And by the way, those movies still make me laugh. Did they make three? I think they made three of them, didn't
right.
they?
Right. Yeah, there was, Naked Gun 2.5, The Smell of Fear.
That's right, 2.5.
I always love the first one with the brainwash, Reggie Jackson, I must kill the queen.
And then Naked Gun 33 and a third. That's right. Thank you,
right.
O.
Right. With how beautiful Priscilla Presley was in that. Mm. Remember, they do the homage to Ghost. They're making a clay pot together and the stuff starts flying around.
So Liam Neeson, Mike, he makes all these Taken movies and whatnot.
Yes.
Like, how am I supposed to take him serious? Like, in this role, he's supposed to make me laugh. I don't even know if he'll
me
laugh.
There's a picture of OJ on the wall in the trailer, so I guess it's Nordberg's son. Is that really?
Is
that somewhere we want to go with this, Chris? Have you seen this trailer? Am I reading that right? Because I had it with the volume off, because I didn't really need the volume to know how bad this was during the commercial.
That was the gist it was giving off. A lot of homage paying in the trailer.
Okay.
What you get will be featured throughout the movie. But again, Liam Neeson, to me, like, I'm never not going to think of a particular set of skills when I see him.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm going to buy it.
Well, Nonstop, Taken 1, 2, 3. Right. You're right. I'm just looking
at
these.
I've got a very specific skill set.
Absolution. I mean,
the one where he's in Boston recently, same thing. The guy getting revenge.
Same thing.
There was a one with a wolf, too.
That was actually not too bad.
What was that? The plane crash, right?
They're like at an oil rig or something up north, you know, like Alaska, and he's the guy who's like the professional trapper or hunter who's supposed to keep the wolves and stuff away, and then they basically the plane crash? Whatever the hell it was.
I remember, I'm trying to think of what it was, but that wasn't
the
bad.
The gray. Yeah.
Yes.
That wasn't bad. That's like a David Mamet type, you know, real minimalist kind of thing.
Yeah, that was 2011, though.
Yeah, but you and I were just talking during the last break about, you know, okay, we're going to remake The Naked Gun. The last thing I saw, and it was just over on this weekend, and it was horrible. I watched 5 minutes of it just to think, because I read the reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. I had no intention of seeing it. That was Confess Fletch with John Hamm.
Bad.
You plug John Hamm in the role Chevy Chase made famous.
And I like John Hamm.
And John Hamm, but totally miscast.
Yeah.
It was just an awful movie.
Yeah, I agree. John Hamm's in this Landman that you know we've been talking about.
He's good in that.
He's great. And obviously, you know, I enjoy his work. But yeah, Mike, when you said that, the original Fletch, funny as hell.
Right.
Really funny.
By the way, more comments coming in on those sunglasses.
Yeah, what they're saying.
It's pretty negative. You want you want me to re-gift them? And it was late for your birthday.
You're going to get rid of them? Let me see them. You got them?
No, they're in the car. They're downstairs.
Oh, come on. You know what? Take a picture on the way home.
I'll wear them tomorrow at Murph's if people can continue to
comment. There you go. Let me see you.
Forget about what the people say, Mike. Do you?
I enjoy these sunglasses. Even
though
my head might, even if you think I got a big head, it's too small for these glasses.
Does it cover up half your face or something?
No, the picture's up there. I mean, I'm also at an angle because I was by the way, guy goes, you shouldn't be taking a picture while you're driving.
Oh, geez.
I'm at a friggin' red light that takes 2 minutes, you jackleg. Sammy Safety, pipe down. I mean, I've literally, the car is in park. I'm not going anywhere.
You mean it doesn't drive itself?
I mean, literally. So, but anyway, on that note, you can go to Mike Bell ATL and mock me some more. Hey, man, that's it for Guy Talk.
All right, guys, coming up, we got some Falcons conversation. They are looking at a position that we hadn't really been talking about, and it seems to be getting more and more traction. You okay with it? I said this yesterday when we were up at Buffalo's Cafe and coming. And by the way, thanks to everybody that came out. We appreciate each and every one of you guys. I wish we had more time to spend with you, but, you know, we were doing a show, and thank you guys for hanging out and being a part of it. But, Mike, when I said this yesterday, the entire audience was like, no! We'll tell you what it is next.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.